Better on Draft Podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com. The Better on Draft Podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, and Kez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 15 of the Better on Draft podcast.
Oh, we're making our way up here.
Wow.
My name is Ken. Sitting with me, as always, Nicholas.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. That's right. What are you drinking over there? We got cups going around.
I got a Ballast Point Wahoo to start. Something light.
That's got to be lower on the ABV because it's like a teen picture.
It is, yeah.
We had this discussion last week.
I know.
The crazier the ABV, or the higher the ABV, the crazier the picture.
Yeah, and so then you just gave me a cup of whatever that is. That's Ballast Point Peppermint Victory at Sea, and there's the guy, the skull, and he's...
Yeah, it's obviously following the rules here at Better on Draft. This is a 10% beer.
Yeah,
because
we don't drink
it. I am breaking the rules with the Wahoo.
The Wahoo.
Yeah.
Dan, what are you drinking over there?
Oh, see, I got like four beers in front of me. Where do we start? I haven't opened this. I got this Bigfoot Ale. Barley Wine. So we're gonna try that later. Gumball Head, half drank, of course.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Same thing. Peppermint Victory at Sea. Got a cup of that, and I got some Earl of Brixham.
I do like the Earl of Brixham, so I'm going to definitely grab a little bit from you.
One. We'll be drinking room temperature. I got that.
So for myself, I got the Burnt Bottom Brown Boulder.
Right. How's that can like open?
Well, it's
from 1952.
That's where we got it's that. It's like from. Half the top is missing.
It's got like the Campbell Soup like top where you like pull tab and then lift it open. So
that's
basically
weird.
It turns into a can. So it's from St. John Malt Brothers. I'm assuming either I got it while I was in Indiana or Ohio. One of the two.
It's all the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of all feels the same for me. I got to go to Pennsylvania on Sunday, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no. There and back.
Oh, same day.
Same day. So I'm going to be renting a car, so you're going to be checking in on my car again. Appreciate that.
You got to park by the garage that looks like a bar, but it's actually they fix cars.
Yeah.
you know what I'm talking about.
You think it's a bar because you're in Ferndale and you expect it to be a bar, but it's actually a garage that fixes cars.
Yeah.
And sitting across from me, we got a guest today. We got Robert, don't call me Bob, as he likes to announce himself. What are you drinking over there?
Right now I am drinking the Ninja Chicken from Fallen Down Beer Company. And I've got a little sampler of the Peppermint Victory at Sea.
What do you think of the Victory at Sea? Have you had it yet?
I have not had it yet. And one of the things is that I am more of a Wintergreen fan, ooh, more so than I am Peppermint. But
you're not gonna be disappointed. I can't even taste it.
I'm enjoying the aroma from it already. So I'm looking forward to it.
Like it smells like normal Victory at Sea. Like
it does, actually.
And there's no peppermint flavor.
You don't taste too much peppermint flavor inside of it. It's definitely it takes away from the, I guess the Victory at Sea has a more pungent taste to it, like you can definitely taste the alcohol, whereas I have a less alcohol taste filling in it and more tastes like a porter than
like
anything.
That raspberry dragon's milk, if you remember that.
Yeah,
it like cuts the liquor flavor out of it and you just down it.
Speaking of dragon's milk, I got a gift for you, not here but for the Rumble.
Oh, all right.
I got Royal dragon's Rumble milk toasted chilies.
Oh, yes. By far my favorite one.
I have not that yet.
I drank it within 5 minutes of the one I had. It's like,
we got another one I'm going to be sharing a little bit later on. We'll get that after the first or second break.
Habanero Sculpin?
Habanero Sculpin.
I got two of those in the fridge.
I know you have those in the fridge.
Yep.
No, I got something from Griffin Claw. So.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And we all know how much we love the Griffin Claw bottles on this show.
So definitely a lot of news today in regards to what's going on in the beer community. And one thing that we wanted to look into was more so the Japan's Asahi that's submitting a bid to take over for Grolsch and Peroni. Now, I know Nick looked over at the, you know, exactly what's going on.
A little bit, yeah.
A big bid, $3.5 billion.
Just under $3.5 billion, which if you're Japanese, it's just about 400 billion yen.
So we're going to pull a Dutch brewery out of Holland, or what are we going to do here?
Well,
you mentioned Grolsch. So
yeah, Grolsch and Peroni. This is mainly going to be impacting, as you know, Sab Miller is looking to get or AB InBev is looking to get Sab Miller. And this is mainly going to impact Europe because of the profile or the portfolio they have in Europe, basically. I believe Grolsch and Peroni are pretty big in Europe. Otherwise, I don't think they'd be so worried about the merger taking place in Europe. But basically, that's basically what it is. They're looking to try and get Grolsch and Peroni to, you know, come aboard. And it'll be the biggest beverage buyout by a Japanese company in quite some time.
So what it's basically doing is it's allowing for a Japanese company, a Asian company, to get into the European market. Mm-hmm. It's also removing the large, you know, the antitrust laws in regards to what's going on with Sab Miller.
Yep.
Because the whole point of Sab Miller Anheuser-Busch is to take over the African market, which is what is
then
really
the Chinese,
missing.
Wasn't it?
And the Chinese
that's
market.
A huge part of the Chinese market. Then.
So they really, you know, being Anheuser-Busch InBev, you don't need a European push. You have InBev there, so you're perfectly fine. So this allows for more people to be on board of the buyout from Anheuser-Busch into Sab Miller, because you already have what's going to happen in the United States, where Sab Miller sells Miller Coors to Molson Coors. So pretty much North America, it'll be Molson Coors, and then Anheuser-Busch, or it's like has some like
it's a mess.
Yeah.
There's so many moving parts in it to make it work, just because it's pretty much one of the biggest merger buyouts in history. Like, it's not just beer history. It is the biggest in beer history, but it's the biggest
one of the
buyout
biggest
in
buyouts
history,
like ever, no matter what it
is. In regards to market.
We could very well be seeing something very soon regarding this. Indicative offers are due sometime, well, right about now, actually, that we could see something by March of this year regarding this deal with Asahi purchasing these two brands.
What's so weird, too, is it's hard to follow every single purchase and buyout in regards to the entire Sab Miller, Anheuser-Busch, Constellation.
Even smaller ones. There's a lot of small ones that you don't normally talk about, but those are generally, you know, companies just buying distributors and stuff like that.
If you look at Anheuser-Busch, like, they own Labatt except in Canada.
Yeah.
Or, they own Corona Modelo except in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure out how all of these moving parts and how all this works. Like, how do you own part of a beer? Like, part of a product? You know, I'm more looking at Dan because I know Dan understands a little bit more.
Yeah, because it's country
by
country.
Well. Okay.
Like that whole thing, like the whole Europe thing, like that's the first news I've heard in Europe about this. It's mainly focused on China and South Africa with the whole antitrust thing.
Yeah, now we're
so
throwing
Europe
in there now.
It's all complicated there because you have the European Union, you have Grolsch, which is Dutch, and then I don't know how the whole EU rules play into that about if it's Eurozone wide and how that works, or if it's country by country. So I'm not totally sure off the top of my head what the whole situation is. But yeah, it's the first I've heard Europe's come up in the whole conversation.
And one of the big things too, I mean, this has pretty much been happening since we started our podcast.
Yeah, it was like week one, like right off the bat.
Yep.
And, you know, this is going to happen, you know, all the way up until at least, you know, podcast episode 115 when we're discussing. Robert, do you pay attention to the beer news in regards to Anheuser-Busch? Do you have an opinion or idea of what's going on, or do you just drink beer to drink beer, which is fine?
I love to just drink beer to drink beer. That's fine. You know, I kind of looked at a couple of the articles and seeing what was going on between, you know, InBev and the whole Sab Miller purchase, and just kind of sat back and just, I guess as far as being here in North America, the one thing that I get concerned about is what do they do in terms of taking over distribution, as if they haven't taken over distribution already.
Well, that's a whole other story going on with the distribution.
How that's going to affect, because when that affects the craft market, and we've got all of these different craft beers that are coming. I mean, sure, we love our Michigan beers, but you know, I want to get more stuff from Illinois. I want to get more stuff out there. I want to see Maine companies lunch here.
Well, it's so weird to see the complications in regards to getting into the Michigan market with how many great breweries we have here. Now, we have some breweries, you know, kind of like Shorts, who doesn't want to get out of Michigan. You have New Glarus, who doesn't want to get out of Wisconsin. But you have Three Floyds, who would love to get out of into Michigan because the amount of people that drive out to there just to buy stuff and drive back – they don't want that. That doesn't really do anything for them, especially because they're selling it at MSRP.
Right. I see so many different posts for people who are looking for it and people who get it. And, yeah, I mean, it definitely brings up the interest for me to want to try their stuff.
Well, and that's the thing is you look at – think back like 5-6 years ago when Fat Tire – before Fat Tire.
Driving to Indiana to get it.
And this was really before we had that giant explosion of craft beer, especially here in Michigan.
Yep.
And the amount of – you know, I brought Fat Tire and everybody loved Fat Tire.
And then all of a sudden, the first time we go to a bar – I think it was – wasn't it Augie's or something?
It might have been Augie's.
It might have been Augie's in Madison Heights. And they're like, we got Fat Tire now. And it's like, wait, what? And that was a big deal when it made its way here.
But again, after a month or two, it really loses its –
it did.
Well, yeah, because you can get it everywhere now. Yeah.
You know, mind you, let's forget the fact that I drank Fat Tire last night. but even before that, I can't tell you the last time I drank it because usually I drink you know, the bar that I host Pub Trivia at I usually get Rochester Red while I'm there. And I'm like, you know what? I want a pitcher of beer because it's more expensive to buy, you know, a pint by pint or 22 by 22. Right. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be sitting here doing nothing. And
for the next 2-3 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, I might as well just get a pitcher and, you know, for the, you know, 3 hours, go through a pitcher and that's my night. Easy, $12. And I'm, you know, I'm happy. So I bought Fat Tire. But again, yeah, I really don't. When I hear Fat Tire, it rolls around the same as it does for Bud Light, Miller
because
Light.
Because we have it now. That's why. Before, we were bringing cases back from Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big difference.
Well, I remember a day where I went to because there's a place over in Angola, Indiana called Gay's Hops and Schnapps, which is pretty much right on the border of Indiana, Michigan. Okay. And it's a very big craft beer place. So you don't have to drive all the way out to you know, the I-94 border. This is the 69 border.
Yep.
And it was just so – like I'd be like, all right, here we go. I'm going to buy a bunch. So I ordered a bunch of cases. And this was the time when I ordered 7 cases of Leffe Brun.
I remember
that. I found out a week later, hey, Leffe Brun coming to Michigan. Yeah. And I'm like, you son of a gun.
I do remember this.
So here I am with 7 cases. You know, you want to talk about my wife being upset about – you know, not upset, but the fact that I have all these beers here. And then I have 7 cases of this. But again, you've seen my refrigerator back when I used to live at my parents' house. Yep. And that thing was literally beer and beer only.
Yeah, yep. It was.
That was a beer mecca. And yep. I never at that time, especially, you know, nowadays I'm a little more conscious in regards to what I'm spending on beer. But back then, you know, I would just buy so much beer and load it up, and whoever was there, I'd be like, take whatever you want. I don't care. the rule was always, and you guys, you two have been there all the time, is whatever you open, give me a taste, you can have the rest.
Yeah.
That was the rule.
It's fair.
And I can only imagine what my untapped would be like if I had that, you know, 6-7 years ago with my list.
You'd probably have about double of everyone else
so,
in this room.
So, you know, we got Robert, so let's interview him a little bit. So,
oh, boy.
Going on the hot seat.
Don't get scared.
Don't.
I ain't scared.
It's a rite of passage for this show.
So, obviously, you know, I mentioned that I'm a Pub Trivia host. Robert, what do you do in your spare time? Not your big boy job.
Let's see. I am a Pub Trivia.
Okay.
And what's interesting is we work for rival companies, and I should say rival in the loosest terms because I don't think I've never said anything bad except for Zodiac. You were there for the Zodiac trivia.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to tell a quick anecdote before we continue, but I think you'll appreciate this. So we went to Zodiac trivia night somewhere. We won't mention where.
Okay.
Fine. We won't mention where. And they had an audio round where you got to listen to two songs and guess the name of the song. They gave us the artist. Artist was Rolling Stones.
Okay.
So we're listening to the songs, and I'm like, you know, Rolling Stones, you have like 100 songs to choose from before you get into like, you know, even smaller like UK-only hits. And we're looking, we're listening. We're like, I've never heard of these songs before. These songs have never – so one of them never charted in the UK. The other one was like a top 10 song in the UK. So I'm like, how do you pick a Rolling Stones song that never charted in the UK and a song that barely made the top 10 in the UK? And nobody – out of all the teams, nobody got anything right. And I don't know how much of a fan you guys are of the Stones. Me, I'm not. But I know the Stones songs. Like, it's – there's so many, like
– You know Mick Jagger when you hear him.
You know it.
Exactly. So – but you're trying to figure out what the songs are. So you host for Sporkle. Where do you host and when do you host?
I host on Mondays at Herman's Old Town Grill in Plymouth. That's a 9 o'clock show. And then Tuesdays at 7 at Ashley's in Westland.
You're from the west side. I take it?
I'm a West Sider. I'm not going to throw up any signs right now, but I just want everybody to know. Now,
when's the Cascale Fest? We're talking about Ashley.
I think it's like, coming up in two months in March.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk to Eric, who has been on the original Better on Draft show before the three of us started here. And speaking, you know, we were talking about distribution and stuff, so I'm gonna spoil it. In 2 weeks, Eric Brigman of Michigan Brewers Guild and Rochester Mills will be back.
Hey,
as well as I've got two special guests who work in distribution in the United or in Michigan, I should say, for beer, wine, spirits, and stuff, who is going to answer a lot of questions that we may have.
Nice. In 2 weeks, regards whose to whose phone is that?
I don't know.
Who's buzzing?
I think we know who.
You host two nights a week. Obviously, one's at Ashley's, which is a big craft beer bar.
Definitely. They have a nice – they started their tournament of their beer company throwdowns on Wednesday. And they had Latitude 42 going up against Oddside.
Did they have a winner?
I don't know if they decided. I think they just pretty much go through the week and then they pick the winner. But
so what they do for these guys who probably don't know what's going on, they have a mini tap takeover between two different breweries. And then whatever brewery gets ordered the most, it's bracket style, like March Madness.
Oh, okay. That's
so they've had winners. I think they've done it for like 4 years now.
Something like that.
This is like their fifth year doing it. So they've had different winners throughout the years. So they had, again, Latitude 42 and Oddside.
Oddside brought their big guns because they – I think right now if there's still any left, they have Hipster on tap.
Oh, that's like cheating. as much as I love the guys at Latitude 42 and I love their beers, I haven't had a bad Latitude 42 beer. I've had bad Oddside beers, but that's – with a brewery like Oddside and Shorts, you're going to have beers that you don't agree with.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a thousand
different
beers.
One of the worst beers I had was from Oddside. Is like,
what was it?
I can't remember the name. I texted you about it. I had it at some restaurant in Royal Oak, and it was like the worst thing I ever tasted. I'll have to try and figure out what it was again.
Really?
Ow. Yeah.
I just had one that I really didn't like from Shorts. I just at Herman's, they have Juicy Tree IPA, and it seriously was like drinking a edible version of pine salt.
I almost grabbed one of those today. I'm glad I didn't.
It's really piney.
Yeah, definitely not a fan of the IPAs. So when I drink IPAs, it's not really a crazy thing for me. Like, I don't go out and look for IPAs. Like, obviously, again, I'll try IPAs whenever it happens. But right. Dan's
it
looking
up. It was Oddside's Hell's Yes, because I remember texting about
hell no. Hell
I'm
no.
Like, hell no. I felt like I wasted money ordering that beer. I couldn't even finish a pint of it. I was like, yeah, no, can't do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing with beer, though, is that you look at that, mind you, there I found another can and I almost brought it today, the chocolate berry shandy from Lining
Don't.
Cooler.
Why would you do
gosh,
that? I would have opened that window and thrown it.
What was so funny, though, is that, like, they had it, my wife had some friends over to play Super Smash Brothers one night, and
still a thing? Oh, apparently it is. Nick was talking about this earlier.
Yes, it is still a thing. Thank you very much.
with the Wii U, yeah.
Very much a thing.
And they opened and Melee, they opened up one of those cans, and it was like the worst experience ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, we had a little sip of that at the show last week.
I never finished it all.
Never again.
Yeah. I had the rest
of it.
Except
there with Hell's Yes.
We're going to have a banned beers list in this studio.
A banned beers list. You know what? I'd be down for that, even though it's...
I think we should start that.
A banned beer. Like,
yeah,
you can't bring
so you're not allowed to bring this beer.
Like, Dan, don't bring another 40 of King Cobra ever in this building.
Well, no, I never said that.
No, I'm sure it would go
we
that
way. We still need to have our 40s night.
We should have a 40. Well, you know, we've done metal beers twice. Maybe we should do 40s night.
40s night. We can bring some 40s show.
Just be out of control.
maybe we should do that when we have Eric here.
No, that's a good idea. We'll have a an Edward 40's hands competition.
Too late. Dan wins.
Here I am trying to chug everything so I can run the board.
I don't know, you know, I hate even telling this story, but like...
But you're going to,
but
anyways.
I used to be able to down a 40 of King Cobra in like less than 2 minutes. Yeah. Like, no joke.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, I don't know why I was able to, or why I would even do it, but I could chug one in like a minute and a half and it'd be gone. That's the terrible. First one. It's absolutely terrible.
At least you admit it, though.
2016, so. I don't know if I could. You know what? I shouldn't say that. I know I could. In fact, you guys will remember. That bar up in Toronto, the Toronto area with
West 50,
where everyone, like, trying to get everyone to chug their beer and no one could do it. So I'm like, all right, watch. And I chug the whole damn pitcher.
Nice.
And I'm like, no, I'm out of beer.
Well, that was back when we had the, we were at an event.
Pretty big event.
Yeah. And we're at an event and it's a world tournament event. And what was it, the Dutch? The Dutch team that challenged us basically to drinking, saying that Americans can't.
It was the French team.
Saying that Americans can't drink.
No, the Dutch were the ones we almost got in a fight with.
Yeah.
In fact, it got pretty physical.
At the set of
it. It was like the semifinals and we're throwing punches at Dutch people.
Yeah.
This is beer fest?
Take that, Netherlands.
That's very weird because I get along
with
the Dutch.
You have to drink from the booth.
Very
that's
well.
What I'm wondering.
No, so we were drinking out of half yards, though. We were drinking out of tall glasses.
Wow.
And yeah. What was funny was that they were saying we couldn't drink, so we had progressed. Like, we started with a pint, and then we went to a half yard, and then we went to a pitcher because it was just cheaper fiscally.
Yeah. Right.
And we're just like, okay, so let's drink this beer, let's enjoy it. And then, you know, they're talking about how Americans can't drink, and that sparked him and I's ears. Are like,
I don't think
really?
So.
It's like you have three corners. You have Americans, you have French, and then you have Canadians, which are kind of like
Dutch too. Is like a four way.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. Oh, and the Canadians were like, your beer is weak. Oh, really? Well, we drink 10% beer. What are you talking about?
Well, what's funny is that the Canadians still have the mindset that Canadian beer is better for the fact that their beer is more alcoholic. It's more potent than our beer. Labatt, Molson, those beers, as Nick gives a raspberry. Those beers are more.
To any of our Canadian friends listening to this show, that's what I think.
Thankfully, I don't promote in any Canadian.
No, I don't either.
We are friends with some of them, and so I think we need to mention it to them on Facebook tonight.
I don't care. I don't care at all. So obviously, you drink a lot of craft beer, Robert. What about, like, do you drink any non-craft beer?
To date, no.
I mean, you're drinking this, which isn't craft. You drink Founders,
by
which isn't craft.
By definition, yes.
Okay, well, by definition, if I guess not.
Do you have to pull a craft check? Hold on.
Yeah, is there?
He was just here.
There is an app that you can scan barcodes to find out if a beer is craft or not. It's called Craft Check. You can find it on Android as well as Apple, iOS or whatever. So you can craft check any beer itself. So obviously Ballast Point isn't craft anymore because it's owned by Constellation. Founders isn't craft because 30% is owned by San Miguel. So it's definitely interesting things for us.
I see.
And one of the things that we always promote is that whatever you like, enjoy it. You know, if you like it, it's a good beer, as North Center Brewing says.
Stroh's.
You know, that's my thing is Stroh's in a bottle.
As I drink King Cobra.
I love Stroh's, but I'm not going to turn down, you know, any type of beer, any type of free beer. If somebody brings me a Miller Lite, hell yeah, I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, if somebody gives me a free beer, then it's like, okay, I'm not going to insult you. I may want to, you know, eliminate this beer as fast as possible, but...
Well, that's the best part.
Yeah, that. Well, did you see how fast I drank that? I poured it into a can just so I could drink, or poured it into a cup so I could drink it faster.
Right.
Step your beer game up.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've had a Miller Lite. I think the last time I had one, I was playing softball in Ye Olde Saloon. Down the street was our.
It's like
was
inside our Ye Olde Saloon, you're playing softball.
He was probably playing over in. Were you playing in Warren?
No.
Over on Mound?
Because I used to live in Royal Oak. We were playing. Okay. No, we were playing Softball City.
Okay.
Back when, you know.
Down at 8 Mile and Woodward.
Yeah, what is now Meyer.
Yeah. So that was a while ago.
This is a long while ago.
So you obviously host Pub Trivia. You know, how long have you been doing Pub Trivia for?
I started out as a player, played for about 2 years, then started hosting, been hosting for, I'm going on my fourth year now.
Nice. So you're a veteran like me.
I'm a veteran.
they chew out and spit out hosts every couple years. There's always a good rotation. Like I'm looking at the people that I work with and I'm like, man, I have no idea who any of you are. Like I've got to go. We're doing a improv training tomorrow, so I gotta come back up to Ferndale for improv training for hosting trivia. I'm like, mind you, I thought it was you needed to do it, like that was part of your job, like, and then it's just and then it said not mandatory but encouraged, and I didn't see the
mandatory. No, you already signed up.
Yeah, and
I'm going to like Go Comedy.
We are going to Go Comedy.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. All right.
So I'm like, you know, if they're paying per person, I'm not going to. You know, I was not going to go, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going
to
go just because.
I signed up for it. I know I want to come watch this.
So, well, you know, I've never had issues in regards to being very witty or very, you know, on the spot stuff. I have a lot of fun in regards to the show that I host. I haven't gotten a chance to see Robert over here host, and obviously he hasn't gotten a chance to see me. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it takes a specific person to not just, you know, be behind a computer playing a YouTube playlist of music.
You mean like Benny? Are we talking about someone we know?
Yeah,
like
just
DJ.
Just a little bit. obviously I don't know you too much as a character or a person. What kind of music do you play while you're hosting?
I play pretty much anything but country.
Why not?
Well, if I'm in a country bar, then that's probably the only thing I play is country.
But I got friends in low places. Right, okay,
do you do karaoke? That was pretty good.
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
He does. He does have that lower, like baritone voice.
Yeah, that
like,
is, yeah, that's good.
You know, when he hits that, I got friends in low places. Sometimes his dance, like, what Dan's the fuck like, am I doing here?
No, the bad thing is, someone I know was singing this song earlier. It's not the first time I've heard someone like improvising this song today. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
Just today.
Yeah, today. Nice. Like this afternoon. It's like, yeah, all right.
I mean, if I have to drop that and honky tonk, but dunk. you can't say that unless you say that with a country accent.
Or some red solo cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez.
But pretty much playlist kind of goes from – it goes from 70s to today. So, I mean, sometimes I will have a night where I will just do – my first game will be a playlist of all 70s rock. And it'll just be Zeppelin and Stones.
Is everyone dropping acid while they're doing this? Well, or?
You know, he says that. But as Nick watched when I used to host at Waves like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of music that I would play because you got a little bit more of that older – that older crowd that showed up over at Waves. And it's not necessarily even the trivia crowd that was there.
Yeah, there was the bar crowd there, too.
Yeah, but it was like dollar PBR night, too.
Oh,
so.
Geez.
Well, there were some real DBs at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
When Ken was hosting at Waves, there were some real DBs at that place.
So it's the Blackfin crowd mixed in with the dollar PBR crowd? I'm a little confused.
No, there's no Blackfin crowd there.
That's like DB Central.
We almost went to the Blackfin over at Partridge Creek for lunch because it was for lunch and we weren't going to be there when everyone else
was there.
Not
downtown Royal Oak?
No.
At 10 o'clock on a Friday?
No, we went to Partridge Creek to go get my dog a little treat because we drove out to Mount Clemens to get my wife's knives sharpened for her school, for culinary school.
So you had to drive to Mount Clemens to sharpen
knives? I asked a lot of people because, mind you, my big boy job allows me to talk to a lot of restaurant owners. And there was a general consensus that there's a place called Flannery and Sons who does knife sharpening and stuff. Like, they are the best, and that you are in it. Like, we were in and out in 3 minutes, whereas some places like Sur La Table, you have to freaking wait overnight to get your knives back.
Oh, hell no.
So, you know,
what are they doing?
You drive, you know, for me, I'm downtown. It was about 20-25 minute drive down 94, but it was very easy to get in, get out, get our knives cut. And it was like $4. She got her kitchen knife or her chef's knife and then a paring knife sharpened for $4.
It's not bad.
So, no, bad compared to
speaking of, did you get any of that dinner last night?
Oh yeah, I already had it today. Yeah. So the benefit of dating married to a chef.
She's gonna kick your ass.
No, she's called me her boyfriend multiple times while we're married, so I'm not gonna be too worried about it. But being married to a chef, now she's more of a pastry chef, and I hate sweets. So
we have that in common then. I am more of a baker and a pastry person. Than
yeah, my wife is definitely more of the pastry chef as opposed to the regular chef. But obviously, the issue is that it's hard for her to do cake decorating because she's left-handed. And I think you're left-handed too, aren't you, Dan? So obviously, imagine, you know, writing and you have all the ink and lead on your hand. Try doing it with you know cake decorating now. So you host over at Ashley's and what was the place in Plymouth
Herman's.
Called? Herman's. And that's a 9 o'clock. Ashley's is a?
7.
7, okay. Yeah. So both of your shows, they're 2 hours long, 1 hour each, like 2 one-hour shows.
2 one-hour games, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's always hard to play a mix of hits when you're definitely hitting the – especially I can imagine it more in Westland than Plymouth, a very blue-collar, white-collar mix.
Yeah,
especially at Ashley's too, for that matter, because you're getting your hipster crowd, you're getting your bar crowd who's there for after work, you're getting your families who are there to eat after have a night out. So it's definitely a different crowd. For me, I get a lot of blue collars up over in Rochester Hills where I host.
Right.
As much as Rochester Hills is a very white collar at the north end of Rochester Hills.
No
offense. Like in a Rochester.
Yeah. So I get, I play a lot more 80s, 90s music between 80s rock, 90s. It's like boy bands, Britney, Christina, but a mixture with like Golden Earring, Motley Crue, Iron Maiden. You know, it's getting that feel for everyone, because as much as you have to play for the entire bar,
right?
Because if you piss off the bar, you're pissing off, even though there are people that aren't playing, these are people who are patroning your bar,
right?
And that's always the hard thing, is you want to cater towards your customers, but your customers are only a part of the whole kit and caboodle,
right?
Do you have any band songs, like songs you'll never play when, sloppy drunk white girls show up and are
sloppy,
like...
Sloppy drunk white girls.
Are you kidding me?
We're really like...
Are you kidding? Oh, you... you're laughing because I'm sure you probably had someone
I've spent enough time at places like Loon and Orchid. It doesn't matter if they're white. You get the sloppy 22-year-olds in there, and it's just out of control. I'm like, what is wrong?
Well, you got them coming up being like, play Freebird or Journey. Journey's always the big
one.
Don't
Stop Believing.
Really?
They want that.
Oh,
these young kids want to hear that. Like, oh, okay.
I've gotten more requests for Na Na Na, Hey Hey, Goodbye. Because of people celebrating other things, like, oh, birthday party, it'd be funny to play this song. And I'm like,
wow, I'm kind of shocked.
I guess it depends. Were they actually playing trivia?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, most of the people that are requesting songs from me don't play trivia.
Yeah, I got a code about that. I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do not. There's things I will. Rarely will I do a request for anyone who's not playing trivia.
That's good.
And anyone, or for example, I actually had it this past Tuesday that somebody came up and asked me if I could do a birthday announcement for someone. And I said, are you guys playing trivia? It's like, no, we're just sitting in the back. We just want you to say happy birthday to Alex. I'm like,
go F yourself. No. That's what I do. Like, go F yourself.
I don't.
That's why I'm not allowed to host these kinds of things.
I mean, I'm very polite about it, but I basically say, okay, miss, really the only time I do an announcement is one, somebody's car lights are on. or to the car is on fire.
You are being towed. attention, Dodge Caravan. You are being towed.
Oh, so I've actually announced it. Like, there's a silver car out in the parking lot who is parked in an illegal spot. Please pick it up. Nothing happens. So the waitress comes up. There's a silver car in an illegal. I'm like, hold on a second. So I'm playing music. It's me. It's me. I'm like, oh, my God. And so everyone comes back, and they all know what happened. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, that was me. Sorry.
Yeah, but, you guys got 4 minutes on this question. I'll be right back.
Give them a little extra time. Congratulations. Right. You win.
And here's Anagata DeVita live.
Anagata DeVita.
Oh, I'll be right back.
Goodness.
So,
Ken and Dan's favorite song.
No, I've never thought to play Maiden. I mean,
oh, what?
What's wrong with you? I
play a couple Maiden songs.
Red and the Black. That's probably their best, one of their top five songs.
I mean, top of my head, probably the first one I would play would be Run to the Hills.
That's a good one.
Run to the Hills is one
that
I
definitely do that. It's a classic. Maybe Number of the Beast just to mess with people.
Another good song. play a little Hallowed Be Thy Name. Give yourself like 12 minutes to do whatever you want.
No, that's Empire of the Clouds.
No, that's like 18 minutes.
That's 18 minutes.
Yeah, the one year. Yeah, no, but Hallowed Be Thy Name is like an 11 or 12 minute song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if I need 12 minutes, I'll play Tool.
Really? Completely different genre. Good stuff. You guys ever see that video where Maynard like put someone in a rear naked choke because they jumped on stage and he kept singing while he like had this kind of choke?
Oh,
that's amazing.
It's definitely something we're going to have to pull up.
Yeah, some kid jumps on stage and he puts, because Maynard does MMA training, and he puts the guy in a choke hold and keeps singing while he's doing it. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, it's I found it.
Nick's already watching.
I'm already on it.
And I've only seen them in concert once. It was back when the Fillmore was then the State, and it was when Anima came out. And, you know, he was just basically painted all William Wallace, half white, half blue, and just see this stuff just flaking off halfway through the concert.
He's in a judo throw around stage.
Yeah, he throws it and puts him in a rear naked choke. It's hilarious.
Oh, he's got him in the there's the rear naked choke. Yeah. I thought he was going to put him in the Cobra Clutch.
I humbled you.
And he keeps singing while he's doing this.
Oh, that's I'm going to have to watch this when I get home.
There's, yeah, you're going to have it's tough to talk about.
There's two parts to that whole thing.
There's two parts.
There's two videos.
That was back when YouTube, you could only upload like a 3-minute video. And obviously this guy kicked the ass in 6 minutes.
Two, yeah.
If you're out there, just look up Tool Chokes Out Fan. Tool singer chokes out fan, and it's like the first thing on Google. You'll find it.
So as we're circling back, do you
that's gonna be amazing.
Do you have any guilty pleasure beers that, you know, you'll when you see it, do you always have to go towards it? So like I always use the example of myself, like Stroh's in a Bottle is always like my guilty pleasure beer that if I see it, I'll probably drink it over a, you know, $10 beer night beer.
$10 beer night.
I thought we were looking for more for beers that I'd buy that most people would just kind of look at me funny and I'd
That too. King Cobra's okay. Steel Reserve.
Oh no.
Budweiser's amazing.
You need to bring mixtails in here one day and do mixtail tastings with the Hurricane and the Long Island and all that stuff.
Maybe next week.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I'd probably say my guilty pleasure is Bell's Cherry Stout.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's actually
there's nothing
really
wrong with
beer.
That one.
That one. And it's just every time I see it, I just want to pick that up.
Is it a guilty pleasure? That's like a $19 six pack when you get that.
Yeah, but when you spend $20 on a six pack, don't you feel guilty?
He's got a little
bit
of a
point. When I think guilty pleasure, it's like, why am I drinking this natty ice right now?
That's or my ice house.
Drinking like 22s of ice house.
You're trying to win beer pong for the sole fact that you don't want to drink the beer in the cups.
Yeah,
because it's
guilty
warm
pleasure
natty
beer.
Ice or warm bush.
The opponents buy the beer and you give them ice house.
Yeah. That was was funny. Remember when we were at Blondie's and we had the tournament and the guy tried to drink the beer after I lost? Yeah. And I'm like, hell no, this is my beer.
Yeah, I remember that. All. He's like, huh? Like, grabs it. I totally remember. That was the second entry.
I'm the one that lost my beer. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, I lost. That was bad.
See, I was mad. I was, when we were in that tournament, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was down to like one cup to one cup. So he only got one beer out of it. So at least I got to drink all of mine. It was the one good thing.
Yeah, my biggest issue with that tournament was they played by like the World Series rules, so you could lean and you could do all this stuff, and I'm like, I've never done that before, therefore I have zero advantage. But we were getting hammered in Vegas, so
a good time. Like, it was like a Thursday night.
I think we had showed up at Blondie's for some other reason. I don't think we went there for the beer pong tournament and just happened
I
to be there.
We
might have. I
thought
know.
We did go because it was
like
Planet
$10. Hollywood. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, it was like $10. Well, Planet Hollywood's pretty low end and has a bunch of crap like that.
Yeah, but it's not downtown, and we always stayed downtown.
That's true, but no, they had like $10 all you could drink beer pong. Just so like you entered and you could drink as much as you
wanted. Yeah, you know that might
have
been
it.
That's
what it was.
That might have been it. And then we had a second entry, and I lost a second entry.
That was the guy that grabbed the beer, like, oh, I beat you. He had like six cups, or he grabs it.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, no, this isn't how this game works. I paid for my beer. I'm going to fucking drink it.
Now, if I got to go super guilty pleasure, if I saw it, I probably would buy it. Honey Brown.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh. Was that Dundee?
I think that was Dundee.
I don't remember. It's been a while since
I was
going to
say, I haven't seen one of those in a while, too, but usually that's like the bottom shelf of the craft beer area.
That was craft beer before craft beer was cool, like when that came around.
What are you talking about? It's not cool anymore?
Yeah, Dundee's.
No, I'm saying, you know what I mean. I'm not even going to.
Yeah, we figured it out.
slow to the line.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. This is the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 15. We will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, episode number 15. 25% of us were not into the music that we played, Daniel. But
sorry.
We hope you enjoyed it
bag.
During our
what
break.
Do we know? We've had 14 weeks of symphonic metal. I'm not going to complain too much. So.
I was going to say, well, no, we played some Boys of Summer before.
No, you're right. And we were playing all the stompy, like pre-goth, like post-punk stuff, like that Sisters of Mercy and whatever else we were doing, like Ministry. Remember that? Mad? It was like 18-minute breaks because everyone had these two songs. They were like 10 minutes each.
Every time we play a Within Temptation song, it would be like, 12 minutes?
No, those aren't long. No, it was when we were doing the Sisters of Mercy.
Sisters of Mercy. Yeah,
Sisters of Mercy.
Followed by
definitely.
Ministry. It's like, oh, we're doing good tonight.
I hear the roar. Front, the big machine.
Yeah, and then Front 242 for another 10 minutes after that. Come on, that's one of the best areas. Can't complain.
No, that's good. That was they're pretty good.
Stompy post punk. You like can't stop.
Is that an official? Like
no,
title
well, the post punk, but it's that you know stomping kind of music that.
So we're
anyways
as we're talking,
we're talking early '80s music now, guys. It's the second half of the show. Welcome
second
to
half of the yeah. This is the 35 years show apparently now.
Whoa! What else? Whoa!
I have no idea what is going on. But it's a commercial apparently for
maybe
something.
You should close that website. What are you doing?
It's the website that I needed to talk about here, folks.
So we just ruined the show. Way to make it look.
Too bad we can't
hour.
Add that out.
We are amateur hour. This is the Better on Draft podcast, episode 15, as I reintroduce everything. So I brought up an article because I wanted to talk about it a little bit as it was brought up on our pre-show notes. But it's 10 beers that Americans are not drinking anymore.
Oh, this is interesting. Huh. I want to hear this. I haven't looked at this list, so I'm ready to.
So this is definitely a list, and obviously we're going to go through, talk about some of the beers. I'm sure we've had pretty much every single one on the list, at least the top three that I see here.
Now, just to let you know, this is from the Free Press. The Free Press.
Yeah, I'm ready for my unrehearsed. I haven't seen this list. I can't wait to hear
these. So the list itself, it goes from top to bottom. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go all the way down.
Yeah, start with number 10.
It is based on the change in sales over the last 5 years, which,
Because people's tastes have gotten better.
Yeah.
There's been more options.
It's actually from 2009 to 2014, but...
All right, so it looks like it's only going to give me 7, I guess, so...
No, it's a weird article.
The article is very, very... Oh, it brings me to page 3 of 1 from the Freep. Thanks, Freep. I truly appreciate it.
Give me a slideshow.
Yeah, well, with the ads that pop up right. on each
I just
one.
I just want the list. Just give me the list.
Damn click.
Did you guys ever see the South Park episode with the ads of the slideshow?
No.
So there's a South Park episode, and it's hysterical because they're talking about going through and, like, all these pop-ups come up and, like, how the advertisements are getting smarter and smarter. And so, like, oh, and then this ad comes up, and this ad comes up, and then it does, like, a quick cut, and they're in the shoe department trying on new shoes.
All right, here we go. All right, since Ken's...
I've got the list.
Oh, you got it? Okay, yeah, I guess I got it here, too. Okay.
So this is a information from 2009 to 2014 in regards to sales. So the number 10, so the least in the top 10, biggest drop, minus 26% in sales, which is a pretty big number, Budweiser.
Yeah, who the hell drinks that anymore?
I can actually see that.
Red canned Budweiser is number 10.
I mean, it's only beer by law.
It's like a Pat Specky beer. It's a Pat Specky beer. That's his go-to drink.
By law, we have to,
consider that beer.
We have to consider that.
You can't call it water. I can't bottle it as water. Right. I'd be like, hey.
Well, speaking of water, number 9, 26.6% drop, Natural Light.
Yeah. You know, a good story about that. You know, they had the Hayloft East, like, way back. Oh, the Hayloft West, I'm sorry, way back. Ryan.
That's not Ryan,
like 21 Mile and Ryan.
Okay,
or whatever
I was about to say.
Hayloft
like
is over
Dino Cicerelli's.
That's Mount Clemens.
Oh, it's like Dino Cicerelli's now, is what it is.
Okay.
They used to have 25-cent Natty Light, like Sundays or Fridays, or you go and drink like a quarter Natty Light.
I went to Diamondback Saloon.
Oh, right there off of I-94.
This has got to be 2007, 2008. I went for a wrestling show.
This is
the Xbox show.
It's a country bar. Why would we watch it? Don't they just go together?
It was the DX reunion show without Triple H.
With him dancing in the
ring. So it was China, the New Age Outlaws.
No, it was just the New Age Outlaws and Xbox.
The New Age Outlaws, Mike Tyson.
Before he turned.
He did the face turn.
So we went there, and it was $5 beer. And then after your first beer, it's a nickel.
Oh,
yeah.
What is this?
I remember. I'm like, about that. Yeah.
Okay, let's go. And they're only 8-ounce pours, but I'm like, okay.
Show
us
a pocket full of nickels. Yeah. And
like, no, that's. I have a frat brother who used to live out that way, and they would go there, and they would like, we'll just take a roll of nickels. And like,
I would take a $5 bill and 20 nickels with me, and it would be on. Like, all right.
It's a roll. I'm set all night.
Nickel beer, no tip.
No tip. What's 5% on a nickel?
I mean, hey, giving away 20%
on a
nickel. 20%?
Oh, I mean, just flip a penny or something? I
mean. So number 8 is Miller High Life. Miller High Life.
Nobody's living that anymore.
No, hold on. You know what? Because if you go up to Danny's, right, we can leave here. We could take this remote. There will be like half the bar drinking High Life right now. So I don't know about this.
It was so funny. So I was at Vivio's and Warren, and they were talking about a beer that they're not giving anymore, that they just don't do, and it's McSorley's. And I'm like, the hell did I used to drink McSorley's all the time? And it
that
was at Danny's.
Danny's.
It just came to mind. It was bothering me for a while. I'm like, where the hell did I was it Augie's? Was it on the rocks? Was it JD's? And I'm like, no.
Danny's and Como's had McSorley's. That was decent beer.
The Miller High Life kind of surprises me a little bit. You know, we have a couple of friends that bowl in some bowling leagues.
Oh yeah, but that's a typical bowling league beer.
Yeah,
though.
But that's a that's
High
a
Life
lot of beer.
Is typical bowling league.
Well, if you're getting if you're getting a bucket for $10 bucks,
maybe the High Life's over there.
Yeah, any yellow beer is a typical bowling beer.
Yeah. except on our Monday night league with Brown and Chris, they drink Guinness and Snowdrift.
Nice.
Snowdrift
from Adams.
Yeah. That's Liney's.
Liney's, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't care. Cold Snap is Sam Adams.
Oh, right.
Number 7, Tecate. Whose parent company,
that's
Heineken.
I don't know, man. That's Southwest beer right there. You go to Vegas, man. I don't know if you're ever there downtown drinking Dollar.
Hold on. Here's something interesting. You know, the definition of craft is 6 million barrels
That's one of the three definitions. Like, you have to follow three full definitions.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Okay.
What are the other two are you can't own no more than – you have to own at least 70% of your company. 75%. And the third one is?
You can't have any adjuncts.
It's kind of weird because Takate actually meets one of the requirements just in the barrel shipped.
Yeah, but remember, Takate is owned by Heineken.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Heineken ships more than six weird. It's one. They've only shipped 1 million barrels.
That's why Goose Island isn't craft.
So
yeah. Goose Island doesn't sell 6 million barrels, but Anheuser-Busch does.
Kind of surprised Takate is a nice Dutch craft beer.
Dutch
beer.
Takate, it's Dutch for Mexican lager. Number six, we're at -38.1% Old Milwaukee.
I see that. Yeah.
I didn't even know they still made that.
Old Milwaukee.
The last time I saw that was at the Bronx like a decade
ago. If you go to Honest John's in Detroit, in Midtown,
I believe they
still have 40s. Old Milwaukee you could buy. You could buy a 40.
Well, yeah, same area. I'm talking about seeing at the Bronx a decade.
It's like right down the street, yeah.
I've drank a 40 at Honest John's.
As we cut this in a half, Nick, what are we drinking right now?
We got ourselves some Oblivious from Griffin Claw Brewing.
What is it?
Dan, why don't you go ahead and read the label?
There you go, Dan.
What we got here, wheat wine ale aged in bourbon barrels. It's a mouthful.
Is it infected?
No, it actually tastes kind of good. I'm kind of shocked at the price of this. I'm like, wow. But,
$16 for a bomber.
But it's very good.
Or Dan, you like it. Nick, have you had it yet? I have not had
a sip yet. I'm most curious as what you
get. Well, Dan, what do you think of it while the rest of us take a sip and take control?
No, it's actually really good. It's really smooth. You don't taste any liquor, so this is going to be right up your alley, Ken. I look at your reaction.
I know, I saw his face. I was like, wait a minute.
Normally, he doesn't like the barrel aged, and this is really good.
This definitely warmed up because I know it had been cold in your basement.
Yeah.
But it warmed up just a little bit, and this is so smooth. This is cellar temperature type, very good.
I think on this show, this is probably one of the more smoother bourbon barrel.
Yeah, definitely. Do you drink bourbon barrel aged beers, Robert?
A lot.
Do you drink bourbon at all? Or
yes.
I'm
a huge fan of bourbon, and just when this whole bourbon barrel age craze started hitting, I just started picking up bottles of anything I could find. Mm-hmm. So that, I have quite a bit in the basement that is bourbon barrel aged.
Nice.
When I made this beer run to get in, and that was one of the things I got. I grabbed a lot that was like bourbon barrel aged. We had the Big Bad Baptist.
Oh, that was very good.
A couple weeks ago.
Was that last week or two weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Very good beer. And the clown shoes we had at the same time.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to try it again because I got another bottle.
Big Bad Baptist?
We're going to try it again like later down the road.
Well, guess what? Because I actually bought a second bottle that same night, and I'm going to be aging it.
All right.
Okay, then. Excuse me, mister.
Then I'll just drink Ken's next Sunday.
There you go.
Screw you.
Hey, Ken, look what I found as I'm half drinking already.
Hopefully we still have a podcast by then.
I don't know why we wouldn't.
I'm trying to think what would happen.
To age it.
I do have two beers that I'm definitely purposely – I have a 14-barrel-aged Plead the Fifth. I have a Bell's 30th. And I have a Bell Saturn.
Love the 30. Oh, the
Saturn is good.
Did I invite you on the wrong night?
Don't break my heart, man. No, because here's the thing is that when Saturn came out, I got to, the store here in Royal Oak, I got the Holiday Market, I got one bottle. And then I went out to Warren and I got to Champagne's and I got two bottles. And then I went to this random store because I was subbing for a host in Madison High at Augie's and just happened to get a six pack.
Oh, wow.
I just started just compiling this huge stack of Saturn. And in the end, I probably had 13, 14 bottles. My brother flies in from San Francisco. First night, he drinks five of them.
Oh, Lord. I'm looking at him like,
well, there's a rule about smacking older brothers.
Oh.
They smack back.
Yeah, they smack back.
And, you kind of have those memories of when he used to put you in a Cobra Clutch. So... We watch a lot of wrestling, so I got a lot of moves put on me. And so, yeah, he drinks five the first night. The second night, he drinks another four.
Oh, my God.
By the time he's gone, I have one bottle of Saturn sitting in the house right now. I don't want to drink it because I'm just so mad that that is the only one left.
So we cracked open a bottle before a DCFC game, and we wound up taking an Uber there. So we solo cupped it in the Uber all the way there. Yeah. Okay. And as it got warmer, it got – like, I hated it. But as it got warmer, it tasted so much better.
A lot of beers are like that.
And it's what's hard for me in regards to drinking beer, especially now where I'm at, we make a joke that every beer is a session beer if you try hard enough.
Yeah.
And we talk about these beers and how, like, you have to wait. So, like, now I know, you know, we have a Plead the Fifth right over here at the end of the table. We know we're going to crack that open to the third part, but that's been sitting there for a little bit to kind of just, like, mellow out.
Well, that Earl of Brixham you drank was room temperature. That was never chilled in any way. Gone. That's how you drink. Yeah, English ale. That's how you do it. That's
so we're, you know, as we drink the beer, and, you know, in regards to the Saturn, like my rule at my place is that anything on the door, so the door of the refrigerator is off limits.
Don't tell me the rules because I'm going to intentionally. It's been a year. You know, I think the Rumble was the last time I came and watched a show at your place.
You know what? I think it was because I think my wife, it was a snowy day, too, when we went and picked up my wife over because she was over at Detroit City Apartments at a friend's house.
Yeah, because that's when everyone went nuts and how the ending went.
Yeah.
Like, it was
yeah.
like Kane and Big Show throwing everyone out. I do remember this.
Yeah, so we're watching the Rumble, and like the rule for my house, obviously, is, you know, the door stuff because when I chill or I keep everything at cellar temp, and then when I chill it, I don't take it out because it's just going to stay cold until I drink it. So some beers end up in my refrigerator that I don't plan on drinking right away, and I'm like, shit. Right. So I just keep it on the cellar door. So, like, I have a Bourbon County that's in there. I have a Bourbon County that's out of there that's for a trade because I'm getting Tart Side of the Moon, which is the barrel-aged from, I think, Brewery of Vivant. It's not King of Tarts or Queen of Tarts.
I get to use that word like unlimited times,
so it's going to be definitely a fun beer to drink. But that like the Bourbon Counties that I have, we tried the 2014 and the 14 is so mellowed that it's so good in compared to the 15.
Out. See, and that's why I'm thinking about not touching the 15.
I wouldn't give
it a year to smooth out. Yeah, that's definitely what happened. You can tell the difference because of it.
I was really trying to pick because. I decided I really kind of got into this whole craft beer, you know, fantasy world that I needed to be in.
Fantasy world.
That's basically
with all these Facebook groups.
I mean,
and stuff.
I basically got into this maybe in June or July. Watch your phone. You might break.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, you know, this was the first time I ever even had Bourbon County. So I ended up getting five bottles of the regular. I had one, and I said, okay, this. You know, it's all right, but it's not even in my top 10 in for this year. So, you know, I just feel like I'm just going to let them sit
Well, what's interesting is we had the 14 on draft, and you know, we had it on draft. 3-0 scoreboard over in Allen Park.
We did.
Did you see that segue right there?
I like that. I do like that.
If you head on out to 3-0 scoreboard, don't forget to say hi to Ryan and Nicole. They are the owners. They have a lot of craft beer on draft, craft beer bottles. They had that
they
refrigerator
blew me
there.
Away. They blew me away with their menu there.
And I tell you what, one of the things that we don't talk about too much that they need to be talked about in regards to 3-0 scoreboard is their customer service in regards to their employees.
Yes.
You know, the few times we've went there, a few times I've went there, you guys have only been there once. I think Nick's been there. Nick had the same deja vu feeling that I had.
I was actually there a time before we got our Bourbon County.
Let's go to the other three Nicks downriver across from a
tap room.
That's probably live no more than 5 minutes away.
I used to be there like two or three times a week at one point years ago. It's like, oh, good place. But yeah, 3-0 scoreboard's amazing. I don't know. I'm
pointing to you to talk.
Okay.
We still got some beer on this list, though.
We do. Don't,
got a little sidetrack.
He intentionally cut it in half. He even said that. Thanks for paying attention, Nick. We kind of broke away for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. So, number five, I think the reason why he wanted to talk is he wanted to talk about number five, which is the
Beast. I kind of did.
All right.
Milwaukee's best light.
Oh,
you know, that was my CVS special. Like, I even guys.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. CVS special.
Is that like the blue light special?
Well, yeah, no, because you guys know where I live. I live across the street from a 24-hour CVS. Everything else is closed. You walk across, you get a 40 of Beast Light. You get Beast or Beastless, depending on what they have in stock.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all are laughing at this.
I'm not laughing.
Real stories. Like, oh,
no, I'd go with something else.
I'm going to play some games and drink a 40 of Beast. Like, yeah. and I have plenty of proof to back this up. But yeah, this is actually.
Getting to fight with your neighbors.
No, that was that was a long time. And Nick, you weren't there. That was like, Jesus. But no, now I live next door to Wii Team is Romans.
Yeah. So number four, Zack Ryder's favorite, BLL's, the Bud Light Lime. Bud Light Limes dropped 43%, and they still shipped 1.1 million barrels of Bud Light Lime.
I don't understand how it even got that high drop that low.
Now, you guys were there. I don't know if you were there to witness this, but you remember that trip we took to Vegas, that whole big group of us?
Yeah.
Our friend Amanda and her current boyfriend, or that boyfriend at that time, was drinking BLLs. He was buying them. They were like 2 for $5. I was pouring them in like the tall. And then he like skipped off into the sunset. And me and Brown.
Right.
Yeah, he disappeared.
Made no sense.
Yeah, it didn't.
Drinking BLL, like riding off into the sunset.
Rolling into number three, over a 55% drop in the last 6 years.
That's huge.
And that's Miller Genuine Draft. That's number three,
MGD.
By the way.
MGD.
56% drop in MGD.
How did it go out of business? Drop 56% of sales. Wow.
Obviously.
Do you know anyone that drinks MGD?
Just bowlers, really.
I know one person, and so I'm drinking it today.
I know one person, too. It's a buddy. It's like, another buddy of ours, yeah.
We used to hang out with people from Illinois, from the same type of thing we were talking about earlier in Canada. A couple of people used to drink MGD, but other than that, I don't know anyone.
Wussies.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, wow, okay, it's your beer. It's your go-to beer.
Oh, jeez.
What do we got for number two?
Number two, we'll save number one for a little bit of a break, but number two is going to be the actual Beast, Milwaukee's Best. So we had Milwaukee's Best Light and Milwaukee's Best.
Just
Milwaukee's
edging.
Best down 55.7% down to 510,000 barrels.
No one's buying Dirty 30s anymore?
I guess not.
Oh, that's almost craft.
They're changing their
those numbers.
They're changing their craft or their Dirty 30 selection. Maybe they're going for how do you say
filthy
the Kirkland?
50.
Filthy 50.
Filthy 50.
From Kirkland.
Crave case. I heard to that's crave not- crate.
Okay, wait. Has anyone actually bought a filthy case 50. Of Kirkland beer?
To be honest, good. We haven't, but I tell you what, with all the people we have on the 29th, maybe that's what we need
maybe
to buy.
Maybe we need to get Kirkland.
And try to finish like, that.
Well, if we're going to throw out, you know, just trying any beers, I mean, There have been those times where I've walked into Costco and said, okay, Kirkland Signature has their name on everything. And here's this variety pack.
Of course you go for tequila before you go for the best light or whatever. Oh, let me drink that tequila. There's some good reviews, obviously fake reviews about their tequila that are hilarious.
So we're looking at, but we're going to take a little break before we go over number one. Let the suspense happen. To see
I'm ready for this.
You know what's going on. So we're looking at different breweries that are looking to expand over the next year. And what's interesting is that as I'm seeing this craft beer news from brewbound.com, they have 10 Barrel on here. And you guys know who owns 10 Barrel.
ABI.
ABI owns 10
or
Barrel.
ABI. Yeah.
So
I'm thinking SAB. Never mind.
You know, they're looking to add distribution to their list. This is an Oregon-based company. But there's so many other breweries out there that I really don't think I've ever heard too much of.
I haven't. When we were going through show notes, I have never heard of any of them. Well, but it just kind of just shows that the craft beer industry is just booming like nothing. Right
so,
now.
Like, Mad Tree is one that I've heard of, and they're looking to expand into Cincinnati and make another brewery. And they're spending $18 million. I mean, the whole craft
that's
beer.
A lot of money.
If you're not growing, you're dying, I think, is like the whole mantra of business itself. So it's definitely interesting to see a lot of these breweries. None of them are in Michigan. So to be honest, minus Mad Tree, which is close to Michigan,
Michigan's kind of exploded before all these other states catch up. I think
I mean, you obviously – you have the big states. You have Oregon. You have Washington, California, Colorado, Vermont to an extent.
Vermont, Maine.
Yeah, and then you have Michigan, which kind of falls in like the top 10, breaking top five depending on whose list is who.
Who, Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan. Obviously, the biggest boost that we're seeing but not living is the Ohio boost, because the Ohio boost is definitely a very big, you know, the brewery chains between Cleveland and Cincinnati, which kind of feels like the same brewery differential between Detroit and Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it makes sense, about the same distance apart.
You're looking at two completely different markets, two completely different areas of the state. And it's definitely interesting to see how these are going through and how these companies are growing, especially with Ohio, who won a lot of awards at the Great American Beer Festival this year.
All this crap, and I can't get a bottle of Holy Moses to save my life.
I know.
Really? Is.
You know who has Holy Moses, and I think we're going to have to try to maybe bribe him with something, and that's Brock.
I'll just take it from him. I'll go to his house and take it. I'll be like, what are you going to do? I'm like, Brock, I'm like twice your size. I don't care how many military
we talk about Holy Moses and beer that they can't get. Robert, what's a beer that you just can't get in the state that you love?
Well, I guess I have to start with the one I'm trying to find right now is the Pigeon Hills Your Mom on French Toast.
Well, that's in Michigan, so.
Oh, out of this state?
Yeah.
Not
a beer you can't get, period. A beer you can't get in the state.
I kind of think it's a beer I can't get, period. a beer that's not in this state, which I actually have right now, but I'm going to run out of and will not be getting anymore until I get back down there. Sweet Baby Jesus. And For Pete's Sake.
Well, Sweet Baby Jesus is Evil Twin, isn't it?
It's Duclaw.
I just assumed with the name Jesus that it was Evil
Twin. Yeah, no, everything just like
even more Jesus. So I assume you spent $55 on a bottle, so.
Well, actually, because the Even More Jesus, every time I find it here, it's something like 2022. And the En Masse Chili Jesus, which.
Oh, already sounds good.
That one I've seen in stores around here, and people have been charging $25, $27. It's only a 12-ounce bottle.
Oh.
And I was in Cincinnati not 3 weeks ago, and they had it on the shelf for $7.
Who charges $20-some dollars for a 12-ounce bottle? What is this?
A lot of people.
Tell you a couple stories.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Evil Twin, to be specific. Evil all Twin. Those. Jolly Pumpkin. But Jolly Pumpkin, you're dealing with a different ingredient list as opposed to a regular beer. Yeah. So
is this beer you normally can't get distributed in Michigan? Like, we bootleg this up here.
No, Evil Twin you can. Obviously, Jolly Pumpkin you can. It's just that much more expensive. I mean, I remember getting a Pliny the Elder, and it wasn't that expensive.
Where do we get the Pliny the Younger around here? Can we get? You're like no. You're like no. You can't.
We were supposed to have some.
If I can bring that up.
2.5 year waiting list in regards to being able to get it.
What, the Younger?
Yeah, the Younger.
Yeah, I was gonna say we were supposed to get some of the Elder, and then someone just flaked on us, and
oof. Yeah, that happened.
It happened. Yeah. It happened. Happened like 2 weeks ago.
That's right. That did happen.
Some was supposed to be brought back for us and didn't have. Oh, well, yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, no big deal. It's like I live without drinking it. But
so, yeah, there's those two. And probably I've been hearing so much about Zombie Dust.
ZD is a lot of hype.
Yeah,
it's a lot of hype, and it's not that.
It takes some permanent funeral.
Mind you look at the amount of times I go to Indiana. Obviously, I text these guys whenever I go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because they understand that, you know, I text 8 to 10 people when I go. So at most, you're probably going to get a 6-pack.
Right.
So people understand exactly what they're going in when I go to buy beer. And for the most part, you know, I rarely get a chance to get Zombie Dust. But the last time I went, I just picked up all Zombie Dust, and it was – I tried it, and I'm like, it's good, but it's not – I don't know why everyone's all ho-hum about it. What's crazy is you look at the people that I've talked to and the people that I've met within the beer community when I go to – you can try that if you want to. It's an Allagash White. it's definitely a interesting concept when you meet these people. And if I say something like I don't like IPAs or I don't like barrel aged beers too much, and they look at me like I'm
they
the
look at
frickin...
you like you hate Star Wars.
Exactly. Like I insulted their mother, right. Their father, their unborn children, their spouse.
Break out the gloves. I challenge you to a duel.
Exactly. But it's just so crazy that the fact that if I don't like a specific brand,
right.
I'm pretty much put on not necessarily a shit list. Like a lot of people know I love Browns. Mm-hmm. So when a new brown is coming, like, you know, Hazelnuts is coming back, which is a little
intrigued.
Bit more.
Have not
you
had
know,
that one.
You know, these types of beers, people will always mention me in it, and I appreciate that for the fact that, you know, they know I like browns. And, you know, we're looking at one of our new sponsors. Hey, segue.
New sponsor.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if I told you guys.
No, you didn't.
Zatuna Liquor.
Oh,
over
right.
in Rochester Hills. Jack over there, really great guy.
Jack and the boys over at Zatuna?
Well, you got Jack and Gus. Gus does the one north up in like not Livonia. That's
north,
not
north. North of here in Livonia.
That's definitely not north.
It's kind of like in the Holly area. So they have
Fenton,
a second store
Holly,
up there. Brighton. I don't remember the name of the,
but
the
like,
city.
Ken, your burnt bottom got us brunettes have more fun.
All right. Thank you, Untapped, for that. So we have Zatuna as our sponsor, and that's definitely right. You're talking a craft beer store that I've been going to since I was 21.
Yeah.
This place, Jack, you know, he does a lot. If you're looking for something, whether it's beer, liquor, wine, you're looking for something, he will find it for you. He will get it for you.
Nice.
If you can't get it in the state, he can't get it for you. but the fact of the matter is that if you're looking for something that he might not carry, he'll order it. And he gets it within 2 to 3 days, which is crazy turnaround for most places. But along with, you know, the liquor and stuff, it's a full party store. So you can get snacks, you can get cigars there, sodas, just whatever you really need for a night home, I guess you could say. I was going to say a night out, but if you're going to a party store, it's a night home.
Or you're going to a party.
Or you're going to a party, yeah. So that's usually at a home for the most part. So a night at a home, I guess we can say.
Need a bag
so,
of Better Maids and cheese dip and some
burnt barbecue chips.
Yeah.
I love the rainbow chips from Better Maid. Yep. I don't like burnt barbecue though.
I wish it just kept the burnt barbecue chips. The whole thing about quality control. Leave the burnt chips in the barbecue bag. I don't care. They're burnt, but they're good. And then all of a sudden they're just, oh, no, we're only going to put the perfect chips in there. And then now you just get the bag of dark.
Because like, they can make even more money.
So, again, don't forget to like them on Facebook. If you sign up for their text messaging service, though,
every time
they have a brand new beer, so when Hop Slam gets released, you'll get a text. Hmm. When whatever new beer gets released, you'll get a text. Definitely sign up for their text messaging service. Well worth it. You know, text messaging rate supply.
I'm going to sign up right now.
So
only $2.99 a day.
Oh,
only $2.99
per day.
No.
They just got a couple of brand new ones from Flying Dog.
Yeah, they got some new beers from Flying Dog. But you can like them on Facebook. And again, I highly suggest like when I know when they have the beer is when you you mentioned that you have their text messaging service, and that's when you know you get a beer. And they always have – they'll have some type of liquor trials, like, you know, if you're having – they have some type of, like, Kahlua, not ripoff, but, like, imitation Kahlua from a new
Kahlua.
Company. And they're like, oh, the company sponsor's here, and they're giving out tastings. Oh, sure. Why not? You can stop on up there, especially if you're in Rochester Hills. Talk to Jack. You get to know Jack. You become a regular. Jack knows everything. And
tell
it's
him
so
you heard
crazy.
About him on – Better on Draft.
Better on Draft. Oh, yeah, for sure. Tell them you heard of them from us. We appreciate it. They appreciate you. If you've never been there before, definitely check it out. It's worth the drive, especially now that they have singles. They used to not have singles there.
I'm glad they do now. That's the best thing about beer.
They used to not have singles for a long time, and up until maybe a year and a half ago, they finally started breaking out six-packs. It's not as crazy as 8 Degrees where you can break every six-pack. But to be honest, if you talk to Jack,
oh yeah, you walk in, yeah, well, yeah, 8 Degrees, you can walk in, grab any beer out of any six pack in there, they don't care.
Yeah, same. If you talk to Jack, Jack will hook you up.
So I can't walk in and just be grabbing beers out of six packs. Like, ah.
No,
I wouldn't do that. I hope
but I tell you what, if you go and you talk to Jack, because Jack's always there, he will talk beer and he will talk your ear off because he is very intelligent, but he's not over you. And that's the big thing about the beer community is everybody's like, oh, you know, we're mentioning IPAs beer and barrel age, and he's just like, drink whatever you like. I don't care.
Beer stops.
As long as you buy it.
So, you know, like, that's the thing is he knows I love browns, and the second that a new brown hits or he's getting a new brown or something that I never
like
had before.
Like your favorite brown, Leffe.
Leffe, he was the one that spoiled that news for me. I'm like, hey, I'm bringing back seven cases of Leffe. He's like, why? I'm like, oh, you can't get it in Michigan. He's like, in a week, I'm going to get it. I'm like, oh.
Jesus. Actually, the day after tomorrow, I'll have like 22 cases.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, you live and you learn. And that's definitely what the beer community and what beer does. But it is 8:22 right now. We do still have the number one beer, the number one beer that has the biggest drop in sales. And we are going to tell you.
And that dark horse, too.
And that dark horse. Yes, we do. We do have a dark horse.
It's just sitting there.
It's staring at me now. It's staring at me at this point.
We're going to tell you after this break. We are back.
As I'm yelling it over the.
It's 20. 20.
WrestleMania 20. Mick Foley and The Rock versus Evolution. Watch that match. The Rock cuts a hell of a promo right before that match, and it was his last time before he came back and fought John Cena. So
yeah, he had a lot of
really,
comebacks.
Really good. Well, yeah, he had been gone for a while before that, and. Great match. Go watch it if you like wrestling.
So might as well, while we're talking about wrestling, we have roughly in a week and a half the Royal Rumble coming up.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Let's talk about this pre-show match because
– The pre-show
match. I'll tell you, because, you know, you guys know I haven't really watched a lot. I've kind of been out of it this last year. I did watch this last Monday. They really exposed by doing this Roman Reigns versus everyone.
One versus all match.
How weak their roster is right now. Like, that is scarily
Well, you could tell it was definitely an interesting concept for the fact that it was basically Roman versus all heels.
Yeah. But you really have nobody to fight him.
Well, somebody had brought up the fact that you look at all the champions that came out of WrestleMania last year, they're all hurt.
Yeah.
That's
every
sad.
Single
That's
really champion sad. That came out of WrestleMania
you,
last
you
year.
You have
is
to
hurt.
Pray Roman Reigns doesn't get hurt. You have to pray Brock Lesnar doesn't get hurt, or else you are up a creek without a paddle. At
well,
that
you
point.
you have so many people. Like Natty just came back from injury, but now Sasha's out with injury in regards to the women's division. Nikki's out with injury, potentially because of her her finisher, the rack attack.
Well, is Nikki the one?
Nikki's fake boob Bella that's dating John
no,
Cena.
No, I know that, but is she the one that had the shin injury that almost put her out of wrestling for quite a while, or even permanently? I think she's the one that was hurt before, so...
Yeah, so you're definitely looking like the women's division is definitely hurting because they haven't had the chance to really influx the three NXT divas that they brought up between Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte. Even though Charlotte has the belt, she is probably the worst. She is the furthest from
Ric Flair makes that, though. That
yes.
I'll tell you what.
I could not agree anymore.
When he's out there, like, I'm watching this, like, he's out there dancing at the end of the match. Like, they're in the aisle going back. He's, like, dancing. I'm like, what am I watching right now? Like, this is amazing.
So, the big match is obviously the big 30-man Royal Rumble.
And this is for the title.
This is for
this
the
is,
title. For
this is only the second time this has happened.
First time Ric Flair won it.
Yeah, and this is the first time it's been defended.
Yeah, that was for a vacant title, wasn't
that was,
it?
Yeah, yep. He entered number 3-1 when he came over from WCW.
That's pretty impressive. Yes,
I'm
I know
really
it's scripted.
I'm really interested in what they're going to do. I can't believe I wasn't really aware of how shorthanded they are. Until I watch this past Monday, they are
well,
hurting.
You have so many people. Obviously, big names. You got John Cena, Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan, who are all out. I've already filled up to the line. I don't know if you have any.
I'll tell you what. They need Daniel Bryan. If there's a way they can get him back.
Is he even cleared to
he
wrestle?
Was,
I don't know.
Well, the thing is he was cleared by one doctor, and he was not cleared by another. It's definitely an interesting thing because you don't want to push him back too fast because look what happened last year.
Yeah.
Well, and
he won another belt after WrestleMania, and he had to vacate another belt after WrestleMania.
And here's what happens, too. He'll throw anything they're trying to do out of whack. Remember last year when he came back and they put him in the Rumble and he got eliminated? Yeah, they're gonna, and the fans are. He, if you want to talk about someone who's naturally over in 2016, that's him. That's their guy.
Well, they groomed him to be the next face of the company.
What I'm seeing they're doing right now, they're pushing Roman Reigns harder than anyone's ever been pushed.
They really
right
don't
now.
Have and, anybody else.
Yeah, but they were doing this before everyone got hurt, and it's not working.
Like, no.
It's not.
Well, I disagree wholeheartedly with your statement.
I haven't been able to watch – I haven't watched a lot of the Monday shows, but just by seeing in the pay-per-views and in some – and, you know, the Monday shows after what was the December pay-per-view? Help me out.
TLC.
TLC. They looked like that the crowd was starting to turn and be like, oh, okay, we can start getting back on the Roman Reigns.
They have basically created a Daniel Bryan 2.0 where it's authority or, you know, a wrestler versus the authority. But the fact is that as much as Daniel Bryan's was homegrown and Roman Reigns is more thrust upon you,
it's more
Roman Reigns has worked much better than Daniel Bryan.
But no, Daniel Bryan makes the arena erupt. Roman Reigns gets some kids yelling or complete silence.
Well, they still do Daniel Bryan's yes chant, that which is.
I guarantee you, if Daniel Bryan walked out on Monday, the place would erupt. Roman Reigns walked out, all the kids erupt.
What's the
he doesn't even get...
I agree, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be the exact same thing as when Seth Rollins comes back. The entire arena is going to erupt.
He will. I think Daniel Bryan will get the better reaction. He is so over.
I agree, but I'm counteracting your Roman Reigns statement in regards to the fact of you have someone who is coming back versus someone who is not.
Seth Rollins is on the verge of turning face, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what their whole plan is.
Bring back the
shield. That's probably their best move when all three of them came. That's probably the best thing because people bitch about John Cena. John Cena gets whole arena reactions. Roman Reigns gets some kids yelling and complete silence from what I've been seeing.
Well, the women like him.
Well, yeah. That's at least John Cena gets everyone one way or the other. I mean, people chanting John Cena sucks to his music. I mean, that's pretty rare. I mean, Kurt Angle comes to mind when you get people chanting
you
his song.
Suck.
Well, did you suck? I remember that.
Have you seen any of the NXT in regards to Jordan Gable?
Oh no, I've seen that. I have kept up on NXT more than anything.
So the reaction they got in London was completely ridiculous. Like floored.
You know
how
what?
Over they are in Europe.
If they want to bring them on, and you know you're looking for something for Jack Swagger to do, put him with those guys to introduce him to the main roster.
Kind of like a Kurt Angle
and
with
the world's best
Sheldon Benjamin
team.
And
okay. Charlie Haas, world's best tag team, and let them run with that.
Well, you're pretty much replicating the exact same thing.
It's been 10 years or more
right. You have Jordan Gable, who both are Olympians in different wrestling. One's
and
Greco and one's freestyle,
and you have Swagger, a huge college wrestler. That's how you go. That's how, you want to put those guys over instantly. I mean, I thought they were pushing Jack Swagger with the U.S. title again, and it's like, oh.
So
it's gonna put you out there as a placeholder.
So a lot of the stuff that I've been trying to like read up on and you know focus on is the big. I don't know if they've been signed or not. Whoa, what the hell is that?
What's
going
on?
The Bullet Club from New Japan. Are they officially in the WWE?
No one knows.
I have not seen any.
This
official...
has been the biggest rumor, and complete with the WWE playing into it, especially. With Balor playing into it, wearing a Bullet Club shirt at the door looking at his watch. I don't know if you saw that on Instagram.
Did he wear one at like a WWE or NXT event or something?
No,
like
he wears a shirt
that says
Balor Club.
But he was trolling everyone. He was wearing a Bullet Club shirt waiting at the door of the performance center looking at his watch. And then he posted another picture of the Pizza Hut guy. Like the first picture said, they should be here by now. And then the next one he put was the Pizza Hut guy at the door. Like he's a complete troll, which is hilarious.
If you think if the rumors are true and they actually sign these guys, do you think that they would be at the Rumble on?
I think AJ Styles might be. I believe
I did see something on Google that said that he won't be at the Rumble.
I don't think he will.
The others have a commitment in ROH next month. I want to say,
but the thing is that just because they have the commitment doesn't mean that they can't show up on WWE. And I think there is a very friendly relationship between ROH and WWE to where if they have a commitment that ROH is going to be like, yeah, go there. Oh, hey, by the way, new WWE stars here at ROH for one final time.
I'll tell you what, I want to see the Dudleys and versus Gallows and Anderson because that'll be fun as hell. Mm-hmm. The one I think is running behind, I think Nakamura is, they're not 100% on if he's signed or not.
I think I did see
something. He's good to have there. He's really good, and people are wondering what he can do promo-wise.
Well, you're looking at a full rounded wrestler versus a lot of other people who are on the roster. You know, Shinsuke's got the wrestling ability, but how is he going to he's wrestled against a lot of independents who know, you know, Japanese wrestling strong style like AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson.
Well, yeah,
is he going to do against Dolph Ziggler, Damian Sandow? But Ryback.
Yeah. You want to put on an instant five-star match, put him out there against AJ Styles for their first sale. That would probably deflate the rest of the roster. But
yeah,
those two work well together.
A good chunk of them wrestling at Wrestle Kingdom 10 a couple weeks
ago. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yep. Wasn't it Nakamura? Was it Okada and Styles or Nakamura and Styles?
Nakamura and Styles, I believe.
That put on like a four and three-quarter match. And
how is that not a five or a four and a half?
I don't know. And then the other one, was a five-star.
That's the one thing, and we've talked about it a few times, and I'm going to completely interrupt and go back to beer. How do you rate beers, Robert? How do you, how do you rate a beer? Like, what is the difference for you between a four and a half and a four, or a four and a half and a quarter? Like, how do you, what's a five? What gets a five out of you?
Kind of like with surveys, nothing ever gets a five. Because there should never be any such thing as
like perfect. Yeah, you're right. There's always a way to improve something.
Right.
Somebody did that to me and said that to me when I was getting my my review for work, and they said attendance 3 out of 5, and I looked at them and I said, I've never been late, I've never called in for the entire year. What the hell do I need to do to get a 5 out of 5?
That makes no sense.
And she looks at me and I'm like, tell me, please tell me, how do I get a 5 out of 5? Never calling in, never being late. She looks at me, and she gave me a 5 out of 5 after that.
Like that makes sense.
You argued the point. What? You argued the point. She can't come back with anything. Yeah,
there's no answer to that question.
there's not. So nothing has ever gotten a 5 from you?
Nothing. I mean, even Black Note has ever gotten a 5. It's just... It's like I was always told. It's like, if you ever give 100%, when you have to give more, there's nothing left. So nothing will
ever get a 5 out of you.
I can't rate anything to be perfect because I'm always going to want something. I'm going to want it to be better the next year, the year after that.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm trying to think what I would rate a 5, and I can't think. Yeah. Like, there's no – even this Plea the Fifth is very good, but I'm like, oh, there's probably ways you can make it better. I mean,
it's all right.
More bourbon taste or something.
It's nothing too special. Like, I'm – like, next year, hopefully when it's episode – what would it be, like, 77 or 67 – we're going to be talking about we'll have a 3-year vertical for sure in regards to the – unless I can find a 2013, a 3-year vertical of Dark Horse's – Bourbon Barrel Plead the Fifth.
How are you going to have a 3-year vertical? What are you holding back
here? I have a 14. Am I?
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. All right.
I have a 14. I have two more 15 bottles. So we'll probably have another 15, maybe like 6 to 8 months from now.
Now, was this the beer that we went to go get at the Fall Beer Fest and they said, oh, no, 230, or was that something else?
That was Perrin No Rules.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because I remember this was on tap, though. We never went and got it. Yeah, the Perrin No Rules. Come back at 2:30, and there was like 100 people in line
We went over there. Like, definitely. I tell you what, if you want to talk about the most amount of the best money you could spend, and that's getting the Brewers Guild enthusiast pass.
Was that the hour early?
That's the hour early.
Oh, that was a good time.
That I tell you what, you got basically whatever you want except for special releases at like specific times like the No Rules. But it was definitely worth the amount of time that 1 hour got us everything that we wanted, and the rest of the time we just kind of chilled and I stayed in that one shed, the indoor shed, and just started walking around brewery to brewery, next one.
I remember that. I was there.
Anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, the indoor side where like Axel was and those guys. Yeah. And this is a two beer or a two,
two beer. Yeah, the
Arbor Brewing.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of the festivals, Robert?
I have not. Pretty much every time that I've tried to make a festival, something else has been going on. So I'd like to make, you know, I know there's the big one that happens in Ipsy.
That's the summer one,
The summer one in Ypsilanti. So it's like I've tried to make that one for the better part of the last 3 years, and then, you know, something else was going down. So I've never gotten a good chance to really get to one.
Now, these guys will think I'm crazy, but I'm like, I think we should go to the UP one because even that one sells out now.
I'm down for the UP one, but I think that's going to involve us doing a remote the night before.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
And going there that Saturday, because I think it's a Saturday only. But, yeah, that definitely be a before remote, which I think between the equipment I have from Pub Trivia, the equipment I have at home, I'm sure we could
make it happen, believe me.
A three-person remote, even if we're all huddling around one microphone.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll Periscope the event.
We'll Periscope it. I'll be on Skype on my phone.
Let me do a six-second Vine, guys. Hold on.
Hi. Selfie.
Oh, that's a heck of a drive.
I mean, it is.
It's about a 7-hour drive.
I can't complain about the UP.
I'm not gonna lie. I did Escanaba 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, that was like
it was last week. I think it was last.
No, it was about two weeks.
Yeah, so I did Escanaba, and I started driving back 8:30 at night from Escanaba.
I remember because I was talking to you, like you're making sure I checked on your car. I was And you were actually worried about the ticket, like it kisses it. So I went back again, and
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't get, like, I didn't illegally park, but I was waiting for like unwritten rule of Ferndale, Michigan, parking at a street for 2 days without moving your car equals ticket. So I'm like, oh no, I didn't know that. Obviously, that's not a rule, but I'm just waiting for like one of those unwritten rules that aren't on a sign.
Yeah.
Especially for a car that might look abandoned, just because obviously the side of my car is a little banged up thanks to somebody who doesn't know how to drive on I-75.
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's like September or something like that. It's a perfect time to go up there if it's like the week after Labor Day or something like that.
So
it's totally perfect time to go up there.
Yeah, I think the way that we have within our show, we'll be able to make it up there. But as we've talked about the Rumble and stuff, we got 9 minutes left on the show. We'll talk a little bit about Detroit sports. Pistons are still hanging in there at over 500, 21-18.
Are they in the playoffs right now?
They are in the playoffs.
They'd be seven.
Seven.
Hey, you make it in. I mean, was it Golden State that made that run from eight at one point? Like, you know, this is years ago now.
The NBA has definitely not seen too many 7-8 teams.
They don't have
the
parity the NHL has.
Yeah, the NHL for sure.
Like, you make it eight, you can run for the cup. Look at the Kings did it.
Oh, look at the Wings, you know. So many times they've been one game away or one goal away.
Well, yeah, the last couple of years they've been the eighth seed in the East, and they play really well. But the Kings made the run to the cup.
They made a final game in, and then eighth seed in all the way. Well, thanks to Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're looking at right now, quote unquote, if the playoffs started right now, we'd play the Raptors, who are only 25-15. So they're like,
I think the Pistons could take that.
They're 3.5 games ahead right now.
I can't really count. I haven't watched NBA in a while since I was going to $2 games.
Yeah.
Off of StubHub.
Get the free vouchers.
You get the $20 coupon off stuff. I mean, you're going for $2.20 for two tickets. It's like,
One of the big things right now, looking at the Pistons, is the fact that they score average over 100 a game.
That's pretty good.
Big change from the going to work team, like the Ben Wallace.
Oh, yeah, but they were holding teams to under 70 a game.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. They weren't scoring over 100
either. You score 85 when you hold them to 70.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it's good that they score that much, but, I mean, how much are they giving up a game? Because that's
99,
and that's – I mean, if we're going to consider this a contender – that's got to drop. That's got to be more in the 80s, maybe.
Yeah, you can't let their score.
You go back to those go-to-work days, and they were giving up 75 a game.
It was, people thought it was the most boring basketball, but they were whooping ass. Right. They were out there like shutting everybody down.
I mean,
they shut down the most stacked team in history. What's interesting
is the fact that they're roughly six in the Eastern Conference in points against, but they're also a team that in San Antonio scored 97 on a team that only averages under 90 points a game.
Mm.
So you're looking at the ability within the team to be able to do it. I think their on road, like getting that on road win, is going to be complicated for them, and I think that's the big issue for the Detroit Pistons, is getting that on road win. Whereas I think at home, I think they're one of the more unbeatable teams because I think they play so much better at home.
Right.
Yep.
I guess we'll see how they really stack up. I mean, obviously they fell to the Spurs the other day, but they've got the Warriors coming up. And I think that is tomorrow.
The Warriors still good? Like they were? Like I don't keep up.
They're like 21-3 or 21-2. They've only,
Was that the undefeated team? That it was like the December they had lost a game.
Right. Yeah. They've only lost three games.
That makes you think of that,
something ridiculous.
That makes you think of that 60-win Piston team. Remember when they were like whooping ass with Flip?
Yeah.
And then like they like burned out in the playoffs.
Yep. So it's
So you're looking at right now as we look at the Pistons, and obviously you know we're pretty much at the halfway point for both the Pistons and the Wings.
Yeah.
The Wings right now are second in their division at 23-14.
It's a big change. We were here a couple of weeks ago talking about how they were the eighth team.
They were the eighth team.
You're looking at they're not necessarily doing any better as much as the teams that were ahead of them are doing worse.
So are they behind Florida? Is that the one?
They're behind Florida is one of the major teams that they are behind. And their current matchup, which would be something that I would not want to mess with if their goalie comes back, and that's Montreal.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's a tough matchup. And that's a natural rivalry of ours. It's like that gets into everyone's
skin. You're looking at an 06 rivalry, and that will be like if Mrazek plays a game like he played last year's playoffs, because I'm assuming Mrazek's probably going to get the start for the playoffs.
He should. Yeah.
You're looking at Mrazek, and it's definitely it's going to be a goalie versus goalie type thing because the offense in regards to Detroit as well as the defense isn't as good. I mean, your number one player is your rookie Dylan Larkin. It's not even your number one ish. He's the number one in goals. He's in the number one in plus minus, which is pretty much two of the major statistics you're looking for is plus minus and goals.
Right. Yep.
And at a plus 23 for Dylan Larkin, mind you, he plays on a top line. He plays with Dats. He plays with Zetterberg. He's getting 14 goals. So.
He's a rookie.
Well, it's
such a good player.
The issue
is hilarious.
The issue that I see is that it's going to run into what I feel Abdelkader territory because Abdelkader, when moved to Dats Zetterberg's line, performed amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens again, you're like, uh-oh, what the hell do we do? Because Abdelkader's really good, not great, I think is a very fair statement.
Yeah, oh, no, I agree.
I think he's not an all-star, but he's right at that cusp.
He's that guy that comes in and makes a big difference.
He can definitely get
there. He makes a big difference, but he's not an all-star, like the top star of the league.
To be honest, I'm gonna compare him to McCarty.
I think he's a little above McCarty, but I know what you're talking about.
When I say McCarty, I say his stats, Sue. He's very like Sue. His stats aren't on the numbers of the system. It's on everyone around him that works well. And now that he's past being necessary on Dats and Zetterberg's line, he's good on his own, but he's not Dats Zetterberg. He's not anything like that, but he's not someone to reckon with. He's a great number two line person to where.
God, I remember when they brought him in, we were like, how do you even say his name? If you remember.
Well, how many people pronounce Lindstrom and not Lindstrom?
Lindstrom, yeah. No, Abdelkader is a little bit tougher than that, but yeah, you're right. Like, who's this guy?
You know where
21 years we're calling him Lindstrom.
You know where you could watch Red Wings games at?
Where?
North Center Brewing.
They have TVs there?
They do have TVs.
I didn't think they did. They had
TVs there. You could play shuffleboard while you're there watching the game.
Right.
At one point, they actually had a video game console there where you could play some old Sega games.
At one point. Ooh. So I can't go there today.
I don't know. I'm sure if you call Bob, give me some Sega. I want to play some NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
Dude, that game was so much fun.
That it was.
Is that the one where you could be like Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
You could put like special codes and be like the developers of the game.
Yeah,
you can be the Beastie Boys.
that's definitely one of my favorite Sega Genesis games. So we did have one beer that we haven't even talked about that we did try. So we got about a minute and a half left. Dan, what did you think of Bourbon Barrel Aged Plead the Fifth?
Savage. Yes. No, I'm definitely not standing in line for that. It's all right.
Not in line for 4-Elf Day. Robert?
No.
Other than just pretty much thinking Dave Chappelle and going, plead the fizzeth.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I plead the fifth. Your Honor, I plead the fifth. I mean, it is. It's kind of average. It's boozy. I mean, it's very – the bourbon is just very
really
strong in
it. I really taste the booziness of it. Did you guys?
It kind of is to me.
No, it's just, not really.
I didn't.
I was going to say, I didn't taste – that might be for the fact that you're more used to the bourbon taste. So
yeah.
You're definitely looking for those notes, whereas I don't like bourbon and I didn't taste
it's just,
at all.
It has that bourbon heat to it.
That's fair. Nick?
It was good, but as Dan mentioned, I'm not going to be waiting in line for – special releases and stuff.
You're not going to be waiting in line the day before it gets released to then come back again?
No.
I would not. No.
All right. Well, we got 20 seconds left for myself, Dan, Nick, Robert. We appreciate you coming. North Center Brewing.
Wait, quickly. What's the number one beer?
Oh, the number one beer.
Oh, Lord. Did we really forget this?
Number one.
The number one beer on that list, we will tell you next week. Thank you for coming. And remember, if you like it, remember, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.